minutes after the hour. This just came across my desk here. Mountain West Network announcing the 2021 football schedule. So we'll try to get that up on our website momentarily at thewholeshow.com. Trying to see where, okay, CSU, their first game of the season will be against South Dakota State at Colorado State Saturday, September 4th. Interesting. Okay. Just got this in front of me, so I'm trying. Oh, Vanderbilt at Colorado State will play them on Saturday, September 11th. Then Colorado State at Toledo, Saturday, September 18th. Colorado State at Iowa, Saturday, September 25th. And then they'll have, it looks like they'll have their bye week on the weekend of October 2nd. And they'll be back in action on October 9th, San Jose State. They get into conference play there. So we'll post that up for you when we can. But there you go, football. I'm not even in that mindset right now. Not even close. I mean, I will be. Once we get through March Madness, I'm going to be, you know, ready for some football, for sure. But right now, CSU, if you're paying attention to CSU, then it's all about whether or not they're going to get in. And right now, I mean, I'm on ESPN.com. I'm on their bracketology section. And can you believe it? They actually have Boise State on the bracket watch listed as the last team in. Seton Hall is the first team out. Top overall seed, of course, Gonzaga. So there's a Mountain West team in Boise State they believe would be the last four in. Utah State, as far as Mountain West is concerned, is one of the first four out. Seton Hall, Utah State, St. Louis, and Duke. Duke being left out. Wow. And again, Duke is one of those teams. Michigan State, Duke, a lot of those teams in front that have kind of been in front of CSU. But according to this, now again, CSU, it's part of our poll question, a Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. How many more wins do the Rams need? And those of you that are saying they're already in, well, okay, you feel pretty good about this. So the bracketology segment today has the Rams getting in into that Region 4, I think, Region 4 spot. Where was I? Now, Region 2, playing USC, getting in as an 11th seed in Region 2, playing against USC, a Pac-12 team there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. But they can't fall flat on their face. I mean, this is all just projecting that they win at least a game or two. I think if they can win tonight, I don't know. What's more important? I guess, what does the committee look at more? Your overall record in the regular season or how you did in your conference tournament? Because, I mean, you're playing. I mean, I know they're bigger games and they want to see how you represent in those bigger games. But if you can beat Nevada tonight, which is my game of the week tonight, Colfax, CSU, and Nevada. Going to keep you on your toes. We're supposed to do that last segment. Yeah, this is huge. It's absolutely huge. And it does help that argument of what should... That was going to be my poll question today. Should CSU raise a banner, even though they won, if they win tonight, even though they wouldn't be claimed the Mountain West champs? I don't know how I feel about it. If you're Joe Parker, though, and you go to CSU and you go to these players, and they say, yeah, Joe, Mr. Parker, we'd like to raise a banner. I mean, we feel like with, and it's not just the forfeits. It's not just those two games. CSU lost games too. They both have three losses, assuming CSU wins tonight. They both have three losses. So why not just go based off the losses? So if the players came to you and you're Joe Parker, Colfax, and Coach Medved, and they all kind of agreed and said, we took a vote, we'd like to raise a banner. But it's Joe's decision. He's the athletic director. You didn't technically win it. Are you raising it?
I am not.
Ooh, you're going to have some mad Rams fans at you.
That's fine.
Joe's already in the hot seat with Rams fans. You wouldn't do it?
No.
I'd do it if the team voted on it. Because then I've got the out of saying, yeah, that was them voting on it, and I, you know, support my guys. And we felt like we kind of got screwed. Now, Kelly told us, and we knew this. We knew this when Joe talked to us, right? Wednesday. Kelly Lyle told us this from the Colorado, reiterated this. Joe was a part of the vote back a month ago that said, hey, yeah, let's just call them what they are. They're forfeits. If they're not COVID-related. And now, what Joe voted on or didn't vote on at that point, I don't know. But it passed. Whatever it was, it passed. And nobody really fought that hard after the fact. But you're fighting hard now. You didn't know you were going to miss games. You didn't know you were going to miss half of your New Mexico series and half of your Nevada series. So, I mean, if you would have known that, would you have changed it? I think that any forfeit in 2020, 2021, we should have just said is a no contest. We base it off of your loss record or your win percentage, whatever. Kind of like they were going to do in football. But San Diego State's going to win because they've got more wins and they had more games. That doesn't seem right then. I mean, if you're CSU, then say, hey, we want to make up, let's play New Mexico again. We want to make those games up so we can go tie it. So, I mean, the team's winning the conference tournament because they played more conference games than you. So, I mean, in that regard, I do kind of get it. Now, I'm never big on that. I always made fun of UCF. I mean, like, you didn't win. But this just feels different. Overall, I mean, because, you know, you've got it. They're both tied right now. If you go again to ESPN.com in the Mountain West standings, they are tied. San Diego State's 14-3. Colorado State's 14-3. They win tonight. They're 15-3. But then, pa-da-pa-dow, there's two more wins for San Diego State. You're 16-3. So it's a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating, but I don't know. I wouldn't if the team came and said, you know, we didn't really decide on it one way or the other. We didn't win it, so let's just go win the tournament. But if the team voted on it and they felt like they wanted a banner up to say co-champions, it still feels weird. But if I'm Joe, I feel like that's the only decision I can make. Not necessarily because it's right in terms of wins and losses and all that. But he's already under fire with the football situation, with everything. I mean, he's been under fire. So, I mean, I'm wanting to please my team if that's what it takes, even if it's a strange look ultimate. But I don't know. I don't know if Medved votes signs off on that. You got to work hard to get where they are. You got to work hard to win a regular season title. And this is no slouch of a conference. I mean, think about Boise State, though. According to Bracketology on ESPN, Boise State's one of the ones in, last four in. Utah State's first four out. Utah State's 14-4 in the conference, 17-7 overall. And Boise State is 14-6, 18-7 overall. But you got to go with, you know, yeah, the standings mean a lot, but they swept Utah State. Boise State did, so... It's a very it's a fun time of year. It's a very contested time of year too. Everybody's basically arguing about where their team finishes, where they won't finish overall. But I think the Rams get in, but I do, yeah, they're going to have to win, and that, so that means I think that they're going to beat Nevada tonight. I do think that they'll take care of Nevada overall. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. And this is a crazy year, man. I mean, I'm looking at San Diego State could be playing Louisville in that first round. I'm just looking. Here we go into Region 1. Yeah, Gonzaga. That'll be easy for them. Clemson, Maryland. Maybe Clemson as an 8 seed. It's going to be a blast. Are you ready to fill out this bracket, Colfax? I mean, I'm ready to load up these brackets and see what we've got. We're getting Hooligans registered for this bad boy. CBS Sports is doing it, by the way. So we're getting those going in. They got Colorado getting in as a 5th seed, taking on Wichita State. If they can win that, they'll be going up against Tad Boyle's old boys in Kansas. Oh, man. If that's how it comes out to be. Yeah, we'll find out. I'm ready to get this bracket going. get people going on this, man. CBS Sports just launched it back up like 2 days ago. So if you haven't got a, if you've registered with us and you haven't received an email just yet, let me know, because we've sent them out as of right now. But we are going to be registering a couple of people today. In fact, I'll do callers 4 and 5. We'll do that right now. Callers 4 and 5. All I need is an email address. You're not getting pesky emails from us, just from CBS Sports. Callers 4 and 5, get in our market, our March Madness Bracket Challenge. I know CRP 4x4 is going to be hooking us up with some gifts. I know we're getting a free golf from the Eaton Country Club. The winner is going to take home a gigantic gift package, and it's free to enter. Callers 4 and 5, 970-353-1310, or toll-free 877-353-1310. Callers 4 or 5, you're in our March Madness Challenge, or 2021 Bracket Challenge, 16 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's jump out of here real quick, and we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to get into what George Payton had to say about Drew Locke, Deshaun Watson, Von Miller, Justin Simmons, all that and more. Coming up next.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Destiny. 21 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. It's The whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Didn't get to some of these texts earlier. Green Acres saying, winning round one of the Mountain West tournament is more important than winning tonight. We could lose tonight and still get in. But if we win tonight, lose round one to 7 or 10 seed, we're done. Definitely not co-champions. So you wouldn't raise a banner for co-champions. If you win tonight, champions. If you lose, nothing. Anything else, the logic doesn't make sense. Yeah, but you're still, if you say just champions, according to the forfeit, you're just, so basically, Greenacre, you don't want to count the forfeit wins. You don't want to count those at all. Because if you didn't, CSU would have more wins than San Diego State. If you do count the forfeit wins, San Diego State has, I think they're 16-3. So, I mean, you're not, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think if you're going to say that one of CSU's New Mexico games was a no decision or whatever, and Nevada, and one of the Nevada games was a no decision, the UNC game was a no decision, it's all COVID-related, unless it's not. Meaning, like, the Utah State football thing, that wasn't COVID-related. That was social justice, social distancing. I don't know, one of the socials, that was socially related. The New Mexico games against San Diego State were, I mean, they claimed they didn't have enough guys, enough players. That's all pretty much COVID related then. And even if they weren't, COVID wasn't taking hold of them, whatever, it was injuries and stuff, then they shouldn't have been allowed to forfeit. You shouldn't be allowed to forfeit in a Division I basketball team unless it's just crazy epidemic type stuff or pandemic type stuff. I've said it a bazillion times. So I get you, Greenacre. So you're basically saying, hey, I'm not accepting those two forfeit wins for San Diego State. If the Rams win tonight, they're champions, no co-champs, because that would mean that CSU is 15-3 and San Diego State is 14-3. What do you think? I mean, you're not raising the banner because it's not official from the Mountain West Conference. You're not doing that.
Pretty much.
But you get where he's coming from. It's like, I'm not accepting those forfeits. That's ridiculous. I don't.
Them's the rules, man. I don't know. It sucks. I'm not saying it doesn't suck.
The conference makes the decisions, yeah. Right? Green Acres is going to sneak in to Moby. He's going to sneak in and hang a banner. If Joe doesn't do it. Dixon. Oh, I'm talking about the Nuggets here. Sometimes you need to get bigger and can't afford both Barton and Harris in there. Barton's been playing really well. Honestly, I kind of prefer Barton or Morris over Harris right now. The only problem with Morris starting is you're not going to have that production coming off the bench. Yeah, it's going to be cool seeing how Malone does this one. We may be overrating Harris's defense a little. Based on now, maybe. I mean, he's not what he was, but you're not a great defensive team, so you need guys that are even just a little bit above average in that situation. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. George Payton. Speaking of, like, Mike Malone's got a lot of big decisions ahead of him. George Payton's got a lot of decisions ahead of him. Just in his first general manager job. Big-time stuff here. Payton and Coach Vic Fangio addressed the media for about half an hour yesterday. They touched on everything from the off-season contracts to Drew Locke. Here's what Payton had to say about Drew Locke. He said he has a lot to work on. That was one of the quotes here. We're taking a deep dive into everything that what he did in the last season and the season before that. We're going to do our homework. But they also said they're going to be aggressive on the market. We're going to be in talks in every deal. So they are going to be in talks in the Deshaun Watson deal. Wait, are you assuming there's going to be a Deshaun Watson deal? Houston's not saying that. Do you guys know something that we don't? Probably. Until Drew proves to be the next quarterback, Vic Fangio said, like John Elway was for Denver or certain teams around the league are used to, we're going to always try to bring in competition, Fangio said. But I do have confidence Drew can continue to improve. What does that mean? Is Victor learning the ways? He's learning how to be a head coach. You know how you be a head coach in the NFL? You say a lot of stuff without saying anything at all. Until Drew proves to be the next great quarterback, like John Elway or certain others around him are used to, we're going to always bring in competition. But I do have confidence Drew can continue to improve. Yeah, you're giving yourself the out. You're not pulling a John Elway here. Remember John Elway with Tebow? Tebow's our guy. He's going into the training camp as number one. And then like 5 seconds later, Peyton Manning's available. What? And then it was Manning time. And then you remember that? Tebow mania, the fanatics were like, but you said, John, you said Tim was the guy. How could you? Which was ridiculous because you could say Tim's the guy. You could say Drew's the guy right now, today. And if you did land Deshaun Watson, nobody, even me, who's been opposed to the deal because I'm not ready to give away the keys to Denver, the city of Denver, to Deshaun Watson. That's the only reason. It's not because I believe in Drew Locke. I don't. I don't think he's going to be the franchise quarterback for the Broncos. I just think the price and the future picks and everything for a general manager that says he's going to build his team based on the draft, it's too much. But even I would be willing to admit, okay, you said Drew was the guy. You're bringing in Deshaun Watson. Fine. That's what happens in this league. You say this guy's the guy until a better guy comes along. We got to get used to that. What does a deep dive into Drew Locke's career look like? Look at his stats, watch the games, I guess. I guess that's a deep dive. We all have been deep diving then, Colfax, because we've seen the stats, we've been watching the games. What did they say about Von Miller? Here's George Payton. We're still working through it with Von and his agent. In regards to the legal process, we're going to let that play out. Obviously, it's a serious situation, but we want to let it play before we commit, or we comment, excuse me. Ultimately, we want to bring him back. So what does that tell you so far? What do you think? What is George Payton and Vic Fangio told you about Drew Locke? Drew Locke first.
They're not too confident.
I don't think so. Because if you were, you'd be like, Drew's our guy. Yeah. So they're going to be. I mean, they're definitely making calls as we speak. They're making calls all the time. They just have to determine whether it's too much. Because they did. They made calls to the Matt Stafford deal. I don't know how close they were, but they made calls. They're making calls every day. And if the price is too steep, then they're hanging up the phone. What did you take from what they said about Von Miller? He said, ultimately, we want him to come back. That to me means it's in kind of in his court. If he's not willing to take a pay cut, we wanted to bring him back. But and then the legal stuff right now, we can't really comment on it. But yeah, we want to bring him back. They do want to bring him back. They do. And that's the first step. Because it's not just a clean wash of, you know what, is he even worth anything at this point? Or should we just wipe our hands of this guy and move on? No, they want to bring him back. It's just, what's that want to bring him back price? What is that price?
How badly do we want to bring him back?
It's the American Pickers thing. What is not sellable? Okay, what is we want to bring him back? Not for $18 million. Probably not for $15.5 million, which is what J.J. Watt got. Not if you're wanting to really build your team. Not if you're wanting to go after a Lavonte David type guy, which I don't know how realistic that would be, but I'm just throwing out a name. On Justin Simmons. This is what George Payton has said. Justin's one of our core guys, and our goal since I got here was to sign him to a long-term deal. He's the type of guy we want to extend. What does that tell you?
Sounds like they're in.
That's a pretty specific thing, right?
Yeah.
That we, since I got here, we want to sign him to a long-term deal. He's the type of guy we want to extend. Von Miller's not the type of guy we want to bring back. Yeah, we want to bring him back. Drew Locke, yeah, we're going to do some research on him. Wait. Aren't you going to do some research on Justin Simmons? No, we don't need to. The dude's one of the best safeties in the league. What about Drew Locke? Ah, I got a deep dive there. Drew Locke, man, this could be the greatest comeback story in Broncos history. I mean, nobody believes that this guy is the franchise quarterback anymore. Is there anybody? Raise your hand in your car. Keep out. Hands back on the wheel. Nobody does. And you can sit here and listen. This doesn't mean that Drew's gone or going to be the guy, whatever. This doesn't mean anything. George Payton is this is who you have right now. Drew Locke's your quarterback. So you have to be very careful here because you want Deshaun Watson probably, but I don't know for the price. I'm telling you, man, Zach Stevens, our guy from DNVR. Those DNVR guys know their stuff. DNVR Broncos, right? Saying they're going to wait till draft day. That way you can drive the price up a little more. That way you can acquire another first-round pick and maybe another second because of NFL rules. You can only trade up to 3 years of draft picks until the day of the draft. Then you can trade up to four. That's what Houston's doing. Broncos you're going to get to that ninth pick overall, and then you're going to sing ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding at the bottom of the screen. Broncos trade it all for Deshaun Watson, including Vic Fangio. What? I was thrown in that deal? I don't know, man. I just think that you can look at all of these. They're saying all the right things. Green Acres, did you see the gif?
The gif.
The gif. That is totally going to be Green Acres. That is definitely. It's got an astronaut. Putting the American flag
everywhere.
The moon, all the planets, everywhere. That is Green Acres.
Planning his championship flag.
Planning his Mountain West regular season championship flag. I won't tell anybody. He's sneaking in and he's going to throw that thing up there, man. You know what? Like I said, if Nico Medved and the team vote on this bad boy and say, we busted our butt for this. We got screwed over too. Yeah. We want the banner. I'm looking at Twitter. Our boy Nico Carvacho, he's tweeting. He's like, this is ridiculous. A bunch of former Rams players are tweeting. And they're saying the same thing. I might have some news here I need to discover fast, Colfax. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump out of here. I'm going to see if this is legit, and then I'll come back with maybe breaking news, or maybe we'll just talk more about George Payton. 33 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, my goodness. That is the breaking news story, kind of. The breaking news music. And who better to break some news than Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos? Zach, Justin Simmons, we're getting the, it sounds like we're getting the franchise tag thrown on Mr. Simmons. Is that right?
Yes, that is what's happening, Brady. For a second straight year, Justin Simmons is going to get the franchise tag, which means a 20% raise from last year for Justin. So that tag is going to cost the Broncos $13.7 million this year, making Justin the sixth highest paid safety. But, Brady, this is just a placeholder right now. The Broncos, more so than last year, are very motivated to get a long-term deal done. And so they hope that Justin does not play on the franchise tag this year and that he gets a long-term deal before that July 15th deadline.
Okay, so you're getting that sense, too, that both sides are good with each other. This is just a way to make sure, hey, you're not going anywhere. We'll get something done. But this isn't like – it doesn't feel quite like last year, right, where it's – you know, franchise tag depends on how they get it, but a lot of times players really hate that. But in your mind, from what you're hearing, both sides good with each other – this is just a means to an end. We're going to get Justin locked up with something.
Yep, exactly. 100%. And that's what I was hearing this offseason. And then George Payton made that very clear yesterday when we talked to him. He was asked about Justin Simmons, and he said, Justin is one of our core guys. Our goal since I got here is to sign him to a long-term deal. We have had discussions with his agent. I don't know if we'll get a long-term deal done or not, but that's the goal. He's the type of guy we want to extend. And here's the thing that goes on top of that, Brady. Is it's not like the Broncos and Justin Simmons should be too far off from a long-term deal. Last year, they were far off on a long-term deal. Last year, the tag only cost them $11 million, where the market for Justin for a top-paid safety was 14 or 15 a year. So there was a significant gap there. Now, but by paying him $13.7 million this year under the franchise tag, they're only a million away from resetting the market by making Justin the highest paid safety, if that's what they have to do in order to get him in. Now, if they don't have to make him the highest paid safety, then they're really, really close to that number. But if you want Justin Simmons to the tune of, you know, 13.7, you probably want him for the tune of, you know, 14.75 is what would make him the highest safety in the league, and that would get a deal done. Now, Brady, what I warn against is the Broncos just dragging this out all the way up until the July 15th deadline. Because what could happen is you could see some other safeties continue to reset the market and drive that price up to $15 million a year, to $15.5 million, to $16 million a year. There's some good young safeties out there that could do that. And then Justin's price tag is only going to go up from there.
Zach, so tell me then why is this necessary then? If we're talking, I mean, what, $1 million? Is that where Justin would be happy? If that's what we're talking here, then why put the tag on him at this point? With everything you just said, it seems a little risky. And to lose a guy or even upset a guy over $1 million and then to see 4, 5, 6 other safeties get 2, 3, 4, to me it seems a little bit too risky at this point. Time.
Right. And so the Broncos had to apply the franchise tag by this coming Tuesday, or they were going to make Justin Simmons an unrestricted free agent. So this is more of a formality. And the two sides, like I said, they're close, but how long is that going to take? And Brady, I agree with you. I would not drag this out until July. I would get this deal done in the next couple of months. Now, I guess there's no rush now because you know he's not going to hit the open market now. But it's something that you don't want to mess with Justin Simmons. Like you said, if you like him to the tune of 13.7, you've got to like him to the tune of 14.7, right? And so to me, that's why I think this deal won't go up to the July 15th deadline, which every single other deal pretty much that John Elway has done in the past with franchise tag guys has gone up to that deadline.
Interesting. Okay, you got Justin Simmons. Yes, I agree. We got to hurry this along still, but you got him locked up at least for the year. That solves one of the riddles, and there's more to it on that. George Payton, you guys heard from him yesterday talking a lot. Well, Justin Simmons was one of those guys. Von Miller, Drew Lock. What were your takeaways from George Payton when it came to Drew Lock?
I got a very similar feeling from him about what I thought the Broncos thought about Drew Lock. And what I thought the Broncos thought about Drew Lock and everything that I heard was, well, they were looking at other quarterbacks, Brady. They had interest, significant interest in Matthew Stafford. And that right there raises a big red flag about what they felt about Drew. And that's the feeling I got yesterday, Brady, is, you know, we heard the same things about Drew. He's very talented. He has all the tools. That those are some things that that George Payton said about him yesterday. Vic said he's confident in Drew, but they're going to bring in competition. Deshaun Watson is on the table. When asked about Deshaun specifically yesterday, Payton said, well, I can't comment on that because he's under contract with another team. But then right after that, he followed up with, we're going to be aggressive and we're going to be in on every deal. And he said that, Brady, with a huge smile on his face, one that he couldn't hold back. So to me, that tells me they're absolutely going to be interested in Deshaun Watson, as they should, as most teams in the NFL should be. And then when asked about drafting a quarterback in the first round, he said, yeah, every position is on the table in the first round. So not ruling that out either. It's clear to me that they will be looking for a significant upgrade at quarterback this offseason. Now, whether they can pull that off or not will depend on if Drew Lock is a starting quarterback. But to me, it does not seem like they have full confidence in Drew.
Wow. Well, I mean, even listening to Vic Fangio's comments, I feel like he's starting to become a head coach more as far as playing it on both sides. He's like, yeah, we could get better, but, you know, we're always going to look elsewhere, too. I felt like other than Justin Simmons, they played that thing pretty well as far as the PR side goes.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Brady. They want everyone back, but at the right price, seemingly, without even saying at the right price. You're 100% right. And they really tipped their cap. They weren't afraid to say it about Justin, just how he was going to be back no matter what. And now we know that for sure today. But everyone else, yeah, we want Vaughn back. Yeah, Shelby Harris is a priority in free agency. We're going to tender Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, and Alexander Johnson. Okay, well, what tenders are you going to put on those three guys? Oh, well, we're not sure yet. Okay, well, that depends on that shows you if they're going to have them back or not. So, of course, they want all of these guys back. But it's pretty clear to me that it's not going to be, yeah, we want Vaughn back without any question. We're picking up the option. We want Shelby back. We're going to make him, you know, a high-paid defensive lineman. So there's still a lot of work to be done. And after franchise-tagging Justin Simmons, Brady, the Broncos have roughly $30 million in cap space. They could keep all of these guys that they said they wanted to keep, but then you're going to have no money on the open market to bring in any free agents. So that's why I expect some other deals to happen, whether it's extensions and pay cuts for some of the guys that they want to bring back, or whether it's just flat out saying goodbye to some of these guys. And now one guy that's really highlighted for me in the next week is Kareem Jackson. The Broncos have that contract option to either pick up or decline with Kareem. And you're paying Justin Simmons a lot of money this year, and you're probably going to be paying him a lot of money in the future. I think that they're going to try to work something out with Kareem, whether it's a pay cut, which I don't find very possible because of just how well Kareem has played, or whether it's more of a restructure and an extension. They have 1 week to make that decision, so I'd expect some news on that in the next week.
Oh, man, we're starting to get some answers here. We're in that process. Zach, what's the cap situation look like now with this news of Justin Simmons?
Yeah, they got $30 million in cap space right now, and if they move on from Kareem Jackson, they open up $10 million. If they move on from Von Miller, they open up $18 million. If they sign Shelby Harris, well, he's probably going to cost you $10 million. If they tender Philip Lindsay, Tim Patrick, and Alexander Johnson with a second-round tender, which I think they need to do in order to keep them around, that's going to cost them $10 million to bring back all three of those guys. So if they want any money on the open market to spend, they're going to have to say goodbye to some people or get players to take pay cuts or restructures.
Wow. Boy, this is going to get more and more interesting. Saw the tweets, my man Zach. Appreciate you jumping on with us, man. I'm guessing you're going to get your thoughts out there pretty soon by either the written word or the podcast format. Sure, very soon, I'm guessing.
You're spot on.
Zach, always appreciate it, man. We'll touch base Monday. We'll see if we get some more news over the weekend.
Right on. That sounds great, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. There you go. Justin Simmons getting franchise tagged. Sounds positive, though, like it's not a disrespectful franchise tag. This is a, hey, we got to put you on a shelf for a little bit here because we don't want you going anywhere. We're going to take care of you, but we got to get this done now. We don't want to worry about Elvis Dumervil, Faxgate, any of that stuff. We don't want any of that happening. We just want to take care of it. We got you tagged. and we'll go from there. We got to set our sights on this situation over here now. We got to deal with Vaughn. $30 million in cap space now. So, I mean, if you want room to go after somebody, maybe you don't go after somebody. Maybe you're really just counting on the draft doing it. Either way, I mean, we knew this was going to happen with Justin. We knew they were going to get Simmons somehow locked up. It would have been a surprise had they not. But now that you see the money drop and you look at $30 million, Von Miller is counting for more than half of that, $30 million. If you take that out, now you're back up to, what, $48 million. You got a lot more to play with. So we will see. I like Kareem Jackson more than I like Vaughn at this point. I'd rather have two star safeties than one star safety player to be named later and a 32-year-old guy that's come off of an injury. He's fading in his career. And to be quite frank, there are some legal issues right now surrounding him. So a lot of questions surrounding Vaughn. I don't know. Every day that goes by, I'm not saying I don't want him. I'm just saying every day that goes by, thinking this is going to happen less and less. This is not going to happen less and less. All right, we'll wrap up the show on the other side. Let's get to what's on TV, closing thoughts. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just like a minute left. 6 minutes till the top of the hour. A minute left of the show for the week. We'll be back at it on a Monday. What's on tonight? CSU Nevada. Pretty important basketball game. Win this game, and you get one step closer into clinching a trip into March Madness. Lose this game, well, you're going to leave a lot more pressure on yourself in the Mountain West Conference tournament. Still need to win a game or two maybe in the tournament, regardless of what happens tonight, but certainly build upon that resume, and people like Greenacre will get to run in tonight after the game and put up a banner. If you so choose. I'm not advocating that, by the way. I'm not insisting anybody storm the Moby Arena. I'm not doing anything like that. So just be careful. That's tonight. CSU Nevada, 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, UNC, Weber State, right here on 1310 KFKA. Coverage begins at 11:30. And the tip-off right at 12 o'clock. We also have preps action tonight. Lions, Day Spring Christian. You can listen and watch. We have a stream capability now. Go to 1310kfka.com. Scroll down the page. You'll find the banner ad for it. Click that banner. It'll take you through options of how you can stream tonight's basketball game or any of our games of the week. That's going to do it for us. Justin Simmons, franchise tag. Joker's an all-star. He's starting this weekend. Should be fun. Good night, Northern Colorado.